Lecture 5, Tutankhamun, the Lost Pharaoh.
Welcome back. Remember last time we were talking about Akhenaten, the pharaoh who changed everything in Egypt and almost caused its destruction? Well, I mentioned that there was an unusual scene in the royal tomb. And if you remember, the royal family, Akhenaten and Nefertiti, were shown on the wall mourning, as if crying, over a bed on which lay a deceased female. A nurse was holding a child, and that nurse had a fan, a sunshade, which indicated that that child was royal. Well, the tomb is badly damaged, and we don't have the captions that would tell us who is that female on the bed, or who is that child. But let me tell you what the best guess is, the best theory about what's going on there, and you'll see that this leads to our next pharaoh, probably the most famous pharaoh in all of Egypt, Tutankhamun. The best guess is that the female lying on the bed is Akhenaten's other wife, Kia, the minor wife, and she has died in childbirth. And the child that the nurse is holding is the one she's just given birth to. And that child, the son of Akhenaten and Kia, is Tutankhamun, the most famous king in Egypt. We can't be sure, but let me say that we're going to discuss this in detail a little later. Tutankhamun is so important, so famous, that I'm going to devote two lectures to him. Now, the first one today, I want to talk about the discovery of his tomb. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to use Tutankhamun as an example of how do you discover a royal tomb. So if you want to go out and do it, you'll be able to do it after this lecture. Now, first, let me say this. Tutankhamun's tomb was discovered not by accident. It was discovered because the people who found it knew what they were looking for. They were intelligent. They had done research in libraries. This was no, oh my goodness, we've stumbled on a tomb in the Valley of the Kings. Not at all. This was hard work. But let me say something about the history of the Valley of the Kings leading up to Tutankhamun's discovery. Eventually, Egypt collapsed for good. As you know, probably the very end of the civilization, the Greeks conquered, and then Egypt sort of gets lost to antiquity. But the Valley of the Kings always remained, but unguarded. Naturally, most of the tombs are robbed. But even in antiquity, tourists, Greek tourists, came to Egypt to see the Valley of the Kings. Some of them wrote graffiti. I mean, I remember one on a tomb wall. It's so funny. He talks about this guy, a Greek. He says, "I was here and wasn't impressed." Right? That's what he said. "I was here and I was not impressed." Some people you just can't impress. But anyway, in the first century, the historian Diodorus visited the Valley of the Kings. And he spoke to the priests there, who were still vestiges of the old Egypt. And they said there are 47 tombs. He couldn't see all of them. He could only see a few that were open. But they told him there were 47 tombs. Much later, 1739, a sea captain, Richard Pocock, one of the first to go to the Valley of the Kings from Europe, because it's all the way in the south, remember. He went there and he said there were 9 tombs open. You could go into 9 tombs. Now remember, they're caverns that are artificially excavated into the mountain with carvings on either side. So he said you could visit 9 of them. So throughout antiquity, the Valley of the Kings was open. You could see it. Bonaparte's servants, when they went with him to Egypt in 1798, they explored the Valley of the Kings. And they even discovered a new tomb, the tomb of Amenhotep III, the father of Akhenaten. They found that tomb and published it and were quite proud of it. They did the first accurate map of the Valley of the Kings. So 1798, we have tombs still being discovered. And then things change.